you would, as we share our time now in the Bible, would you turn to the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament? I'm going to make some way here because I'm going to be all over the place tonight, I believe. I've got about 20 minutes to do a 45-minute message. Notice that the time is 7:35. That's what time I have here. But we'll get right into it. Thank you all for being in your places here. Pray for Pastor. He's away on Wednesday today as he's doing a wedding he's had planned for several months. And so he'll be back soon. So keep him in your prayers as he's making his way back home after the wedding. And Nehemiah, as we look at difference makers and we continue this series, I am super excited about preaching on this character here tonight in the book of Nehemiah. I've got several points that are all alliterated, so I encourage you to take some notes because I'm going to be going 100 miles an hour here. And every point I'm going to make application on as we hit them. So keep up with me. If you can, come back to it. I encourage you to go back and read through your notes and read through these great chapters. We're going to park in chapters 1 and 2 for some time, and then we'll skip around just a little bit to some verses at the end to show some of these characteristics of Nehemiah, a difference maker. I think we've seen some great characters so far, as Pastor has brought forth many, and he's still looking for some other suggestions. If you want to get a character nomination in there of a difference maker, make sure you get with him as he's going through the Old and New Testaments. And I have the idea here of Nehemiah. That was my first one that I proposed to him. He says, well, you do it then. And so I get the chance to do it. And I love this character for many reasons. But as I think about difference maker, we are going to be applying these things, as I said. If we don't, then it's the chances of us making a difference are slim to none. Our theme this year is making a difference. We can see some great things in the community. As those that have been on a visitation and we're going through neighborhoods and we're knocking on doors and just asking how we can pray for them and what we can do for them as a church family. I continue to hear, I've heard a lot about your church and those that have come to some different outreach events. And they're just so thankful that they see a church that's active. And because you have to be active to make a difference. And as we look here at Nehemiah, we're going to look at several points of his life in this chapters of 1 and 2 mostly, as I said. And how he was a difference maker and how we can be a difference maker ourselves based on the example here of Nehemiah. Now, in Nehemiah's quick stage setting here, we see this man who has influence in the king's court there as he is a cupbearer for Artaxerxes. He is born in Persia. Now, get this. He is a Jew, but he is not living in Jerusalem at this time. And he was not born in Jerusalem. His family is Jewish, and they were part of the exile that happened. And so now we get a little context here. We see how this man, Nehemiah, was a difference maker, relying on the power of God and working for his honor and glory, and how somebody like that can rub off on us. And so would you pray with me as we get into the scripture? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless this time that we have now as we look at the life of Nehemiah very quickly tonight. Would you keep our attention focused as we go through these different points very quickly, Lord, but help us not to take away from your power. Help us not to take away from your word as we want your people to hear what you would have them to hear tonight. And Lord, just allow me not to be a hindrance in any way as I'm trying to be respectful of the time that we have tonight, but also to be respectful of your word that changes us and makes us into more like you, Lord. And so I pray that you would just help us to look tonight at your man Nehemiah and how you preserved your word tonight for us to have and apply to our life. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, the first thing I want you to look at is verses 1 through 3 in chapter 1. I want you to see specifically Nehemiah's interest. Remember that I told you that he was not born in Jerusalem, but here he is in the king's court in Persia. And verse 1 says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and came to pass in the month of Kislu in the 20th year that I was in Shushan the palace. That Anani, one of my brethren, came, and a certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of captivity, they are in the province, are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Here's Nehemiah, and he's asking his brethren, what is going on in Jerusalem? What is going on with my people? And you might ask, as I've already given you that background, he is not from there, so he doesn't really know, but he's interested in it. And let me tell you tonight, if we're going to make a difference, we have to be interested in something other than ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, as we're making a difference and as we show compassion on some, we have to understand that as we look at our life, we all have interests. Every one of us have desires and things that we like. I have many hobbies that I've had over the years. My wife has had many hobbies over the years. And it's amazing how the Lord changes our priorities and changes our interests the more we become like Him. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with hobbies. As I've said, I've had many over the years, but many of you know I'm in the car business. And I'm asked all the time, well, do you like these cars? And do you like this cars? And you go to car shows all the time. And the answer is, no, not really. There was a time that I did nothing but cars, but then I had kids and they cost money. And so do cars. There was times that I would work on cars, but you know, the things that I had gratitude in and making something that was the ugly and turning into pretty, I still enjoy that, but the Lord has changed my interest. Let me ask you tonight, as you're thinking about your interests, you're thinking about your hobbies, you're thinking about your priorities tonight, does the finger come back to you? Is the interest that you have all yours? Or is there something that you're involved in this life that affects someone else? Is your priorities, is your interest, is your priorities, is your desires in more than just what you want? Because here's Nehemiah, and he's asking, what's going on with my brethren? What's going on in Judah? What's going on of those that are left in captivity? And the remnant there are left. And the provinces are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and the gates are burned with fire. There's a grave situation that does not affect Nehemiah in any way. But yet he has an interest. He has a concern. And he wants to know what's going on. Do we have an interest like that tonight? Because that's what we're going to need to make a difference. Next thing I see, as soon as he sees the response from this interest that he has from the brethren asking what's going on, I see Nehemiah's intercession. It's a great thing to have intercessory prayer. I want to encourage every one of us as I look at this room filled with people. You know, it would be great on Sunday night at 5:30 if this auditorium was filled the same way. You know, prayer is the hand of God working and He wants to hear from us. And intercessory prayer is something that comes right from the heart of God. We see the examples of it throughout the New Testament and the Old Testament. I can think back of Moses when the people, of the 100 times that they murmured and complained and went back against their word, he still interceded for them. You can think of examples of John. You can think of examples of Paul. You can think of Jesus ourself as the example of being our intercessor. As Romans 8:34 says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That is where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is now, making intercession for you, for me, for those that have sinned and come to the saving redemption of Jesus Christ, that have put their faith and trust in Him. He is our intercessor. And here's an example here that Nehemiah has this interest. He has this problem that's now confronted with him. Even though it doesn't affect him at all, he's now going to prayer and he's asking the Lord. And he's going to remind him of God's promises. It's amazing the promises of God if we would focus on them. He is not slack concerning His promises. He is truth. His promises are always sure, unlike ours that sometimes go on the long side. Sometimes when we say, oh, I'll pray for you in that situation, then you go home maybe 3 days later and you're like, oh, I forgot to pray for that. You ever been there? But intercessory prayer here, we see Nehemiah comes to the Lord and says, it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth the covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. He continues and he remembers the commandments and he remembers what his people have done. Verse 8, remember, I beseech thee the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad the nations. Here's a man, Nehemiah, that wasn't back then time. He wasn't in Jerusalem. He wasn't part of that time when the children of Israel were sent out to exile because of their transgressions. But he knows it. Why does he know it? Because he has an interest, number one, in the things of God. We just saw that. He has an interest in what's going on with God's people. And now he is going to the Lord in intercessory prayer. And he's asking, can we do something about this? Lord, what can be done? Lord, I know that we have sinned. You ever feel like everybody else in the world sinned besides you? You think about this Texas situation. How is this happening? Certainly something like that wouldn't happen in our community, but it could. It could. And here we look and we say, well, not us, not us. Or we might look at our sin and say, well, I'm not that bad. But Nehemiah says, we have sinned. He's going to the Lord, not just for his sins, but for the sins of the people as well. Look back at verse 6. I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. There's a recognition there that it's not just him. There's a recognition of interceding for others that have gone the wayside. Hey, if we don't recognize that the sin that we have as humans, if we don't recognize that that sin separates us from a pure and holy God, if we don't recognize that we are face to face with souls that will spend eternity in heaven or hell, then we've missed the point. Because every one of us will face eternity with that decision. And he says, what can be done? Lord, how can we change this situation? Verse 11, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Look back at that verse very quickly, and it says, to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants with an S. Hey, sometimes we feel like we're in this all alone, don't we? Sometimes we feel like we're the only ones trying to do something. But here's Nehemiah. He's going to the Lord in intercessory prayer. And he recognizes the sin of everyone. But he also recognizes that there's others that are trying to do something. There's more than us at Tabernacle Baptist that are trying to go forward for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we should be praying for them too. We're in this together, aren't we? Yeah. And we need to be interceding and praying for each other and working for the cause of Christ. And this prayer that Nehemiah immediately goes to, it puts me to shame. As I look back at verse 4, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. What a prayer life. Hey, we want to make a difference. It's going to take us certain days praying. It's going to take us certain days intercessorily thinking about others, praying for others. Trying to make a difference, not for ourselves, but for others. The next thing I see is his influence. Nehemiah had great influence here, as that last part of verse 11 says, for I was the king's cupbearer. Here he is in the court. He has somehow, through God's magnificent plan, not born into kingdom, not born into being a prince, but somehow he gets to be this Jew in the court of the Persian Empire. And he is King Artaxerxes' cupbearer. Now, that could be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on the day that what you drink. Because depending on whether or not somebody wanted to take care of King Artaxerxes, that wine could be good or bad. That food or that steak could be good or bad. He had the opportunity to taste it first. But here he is, and he has influence. Think about the position that he has. He is with the king every time he eats. Think about us. How many meals do we have as a family? Careful. Some of us not as much as we like. But we all have those meals, right? Think about that man. Every time you eat, being there. Do you think he's got some influence? Do you think there's a relationship there? Absolutely there is. And it's because God put him in that place. There's influence. Hey, tonight, where you're at, there's influence, and that influence can be good or bad, depending on how you use it. The Bible talks about the way that God has brought our lives together. Acts 17:26, the Bible says, and have made one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, listen to this, and had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. In other words, God has put you right here in Tabernacle Baptist Church in 2022 for you to make a difference. Where? In the influences that you have in your life. Whether it be at school, whether it be at work, whether it be in your neighborhood, whether it be at your kids' sports events. It doesn't matter. It's divinely planned for you to take advantage of that influence. You might not be sitting next to the president, and that's okay. You might be not sitting next to somebody else, but you do have the areas of influence that you have. And here's the thing, y'all. Your area of influences are different than mine. And so you will reach people that I will never even think about having an opportunity to do. But you will. And you're responsible for that influence. You're responsible for that opportunity. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a commanding of fools should be destroyed." You have the obligation, you have the opportunity to be an influence for good or an influence for bad. And here's Nehemiah, and he has great influence over the king. How's it going to work out for God's plan? We'll continue reading. The Bible says there as his influence continues there, chapter 2, verse 1. "And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence." Here he is, and he has this opportunity, and he's with the king. And here we have this cupbearer that he is obviously very upset. He is very distraught. He's heard this information, and now he's trying to figure out, "Lord, what can you do about it? What can we do about that other verse that's reading in the background? What can we do about it?" Okay? "Wherefore the king said, why is thy countenance sad, seeing that thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart." The next thing I see here in the life of Nehemiah was not just his influence, but think about this, an inconsistent countenance. Now, this is going to work backwards from what we're going here on. I don't want you to make a difference by having inconsistent character tonight. I don't want you to make a difference by making an inconsistent countenance. Unless your inconsistent countenance is always mopey and Eeyore. Then I want you to change it. Because here's the thing. There was something about this day that was different. Because he's around the king all the time. But this day, this time, there's something different. And the king notices. Because he's not his usual self. Some of us have a real problem with this. The Bible talks about the joy of our salvation. The Bible talks about that we are to know and show others that we're Christians, what? By our love. We're supposed to show that. We're supposed to demonstrate that. Just as Christ went to the cross and demonstrated his love for us, and while we were yet sinners, he died for us. We are to show that love. We are to show that compassion. We are to show the joy of our salvation. Because, y'all, I've got something that they might not have. Hey, I know the answer. It's not that I'm smart. I'm an idiot. But you know what? I know somebody's a lot smarter. I know somebody's in control. I know somebody can lead the way. And I'm just a sheep that's going to follow the shepherd. Because he's the one that's in control. And so we look at this influence that Nehemiah has, but then his inconsistent countenance on this day, he's so used to being full with joy. He's so used to being this one particular character. There's something off about him today, and the king notices this because his character, his usual countenance, is not this way. What can be said about you? What can be said about your countenance as you go through this life, filled with trials, filled with pain, filled with issues? We all have them. But do we allow every little thing to get us down? Do we complain constantly to other people about these things? Or do we go forth knowing that God is in control and I serve a faithful God that loves me, that cares for me, and will provide the way? And regardless of those circumstances, I'm going to show this world he's in control. I don't need to worry. I don't need to be concerned. I want to be stand up and I want to make sure that I'm doing what God wants me to do. But there's a lot of things that are out of my control, right? There's a lot of things out of your control. But God says He hasn't given us the spirit of fear. That's not from God, that's from Satan. And this nonsense that you see, this fear-monger stuff and all this stuff that's being thrown down our throats is nothing more than trying to discourage and divide and to make us filled with fear. Now, how do you react to that? If I look at Nehemiah's life, I would imagine he didn't allow it get to him until he was so distraught and he was so filled with the spirit of wanting to do something about it, that someone said, "Hey, what's going on with you?" Because it wasn't an everyday thing. It's the reason the king's attention was drawn to him. He is deeply discouraged and wants to see something done about it. The next thing we see is Nehemiah's inquiry. In verse 3. "And said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request?" Notice this next line. "So I prayed to the God of heaven." Look at Nehemiah's impulse. Look at his inclination. Look at his immediate response. Here's an opportunity. God is asking, "What are you going to do for me?" He goes to the king and he's going to make this request. And before he opens his mouth, he does what every one of us should do. Not insert this in here, but pray. You know, last year's theme here at Tabernacle was pray. Our theme verse was 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to pray without ceasing. Do you want an example of praying without ceasing? That's Nehemiah. When I was a youth pastor, I used to go through this passage of 1 Thessalonians. I'd say, what does it mean to pray without ceasing? And the kids would say, "Well, praying all the time." I said, "Yeah, well, that I get that. That's what without ceasing means, but I mean, what does that look like? Does it look like, okay, I woke up and now I'm going to go to the shower, but I got to pray without ceasing, so I'm going to go, I'm going to pray. Oh, okay, no, okay, let me pray. No, that's not what it looks like. It looks like a constant fellowship, always being with the Father, not allowing sin to intermeet, not allowing those things to separate you, but everything that you're doing during your life, it's Him right there with you in your midst. It's having that constant fellowship and communication with Him. And this tough question comes from the king. Do you think he's in a habit of giving the cupbearer what he wants? Do you think he's in the habit of just giving everyone around him, "Oh, you look sad. What do you want? You want $1 million? Pretty sure that's not how it works. And so here's the immediate impulse and the inclination from Nehemiah. Pray. "And so I prayed to the God of heaven." Why? Because He's the one that's going to give the answers. What do I say? "Hey, I'm nervous. I'm anxious. I'm worried. I'm scared." The Bible says He was sore afraid. He was very sore afraid. And He goes to the king. But He goes to God first, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Verse 5, He says, "And I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldst send me unto Judah, and to the city of my father's sepulchres, that I might build it. And the king said unto me," the queen also sitting by him, "For how long shall thy journey be? And when will that return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates and to the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house I shall enter in. And the king granted me according to the good hand of" who? "Of my God upon me." Hey, this wasn't something that the king, I'm sure, was all like, "What am I going to do today? I think I'm just going to give somebody whatever they want." No, this is God intervening. Why? Because Nehemiah's interest and in his prayer life interceding, and now he's putting action to it. His inquiry comes before the king, and the king gives him it. He gives him everything he wants. It's an amazing thing. And now that he's got it, you know what he does? Here's what we would do. Okay, here's what we need to do. Are you ready for this task? Brother Jeremiah, we got a city out here filled with kids that need to hear the gospel. You want to help? Well, I'll pray about it. Okay. Now, if you're truly praying about it and you're truly seeking the Lord, amen. Thank you for doing that. But can I be honest? Do we really pray about it? Do we? Or is it just the kid answer to get him off the case? I'm just trying to be real. I've been in that situation before. We all have a lot of things going on in life. What's our interest? Is it focused on ourselves or is it focused on something for Christ? And Nehemiah is sitting here and he's got this opportunity. He doesn't waste any time. He has an instant action. An instant action. As soon as the prayer is answered, as soon as the king gives him the resources, as soon as he sets himself up for the plan, he immediately goes. Verse 11. We go from getting this opportunity and getting this timber, and then we go right to, let's go back to verse 9. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letter. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. He didn't waste any time. Right away. He's even got some army with him that the king has so graciously given him. And now he's going to Jerusalem to seek the problems that are happening. A few more and we're almost done. You see his instant action, but now you see his integrity during interruption. Verse 10. We don't have time to go in detail of these gentlemen, Sanballat and Tobiah, but let me tell you this. You know the stories that always have a good guy and a bad guy? These are the bad guys. Okay? Verse 10. When Sanballat the Horonite and the Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. In other words, they were threatened. In other words, they didn't want him around. In other words, they didn't want the walls built. In other words, they don't like Jews. In other words, they don't like God. In other words, they want to do anything they can to keep what God is doing from happening. Does that sound familiar to you? It happens a lot in our day and age, doesn't it? How are we going to deal with it? Nehemiah had integrity when those interruptions came. And yes, they came. Because whenever you're doing something for the glory of Christ, Satan don't like it. Some of the worst weeks that I have in my life at work are always around big events at church. PBS, missions conference, marriage retreat. Why? Because God wants it to happen and Satan doesn't want it to happen. And so he's going to try and discourage me every way he can. What do I got to do? I just got to keep pressing on. And I have to do what God wants me to do. And that's what Nehemiah does. He has integrity during these interruptions. He doesn't change his mindset. He doesn't change where his strength comes from. He doesn't change where he gets his power from. He doesn't change the idea. Nothing's changed. God said, go, I'm going. And he has this opportunity. Sanballat and Tobiah. They don't like it. They're going to face opposition. Turn over to, look down a little further, 19. We'll look at a few more opposition spots from these gentlemen. Verse 19, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed at us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Chapter 4, verse 17. Chapter 4, verse 17. Here they are going against this opposition. They which builded the wall, they that bear burdens, those that are related, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. We see the times of these gentlemen just talking the talk and trying to discourage with word, and now they've gone to physical attempts to try and discourage these men from building the wall. And it continues and it continues and it continues. Till finally, they're going to try and send word back to the king. They're going to try and set Nehemiah up as one that's trying to do this uprising against the king and cause tyranny. But that's absolutely not what Nehemiah was doing. He was getting the walls rebuilt. Why? Because the place needed protection, and God's temple needed protected, and God's word needed to be proclaimed. He set off for their task, and he kept his integrity during the opposition, during those interruptions in life. We all know what they're like. But thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we're more than conquerors tonight. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He's already won. Yes, we still have battles to go through, but they're ones that He can take care of. He will fight for us. Oh, how many times He told the children of Israel, just be faithful. Just go into the promised land. I'll give you houses you don't have to build. I'll give you vineyards you didn't have to plant. I'll give you food that you didn't have to harvest. Just be faithful. I will fight for you. We can't do it, Lord. No, you can't. But God can. And He will. His promises are sure. And Nehemiah's integrity during those interruptions was a difference, because everyone around there looked at him and they said, hey, he's not balking down to the pressure. He's not stopping the work. He's not going to go alongside of these other guys that are trying to pull him away, because he kept focused. What was he focused on? His inspiration to work. His inspiration to work. Chapter 2, verse 18. Then I told them, this is him talking to his scorners. Then I told them and to the people, the hand of my God which was upon me, that is also the king's word that he had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. And so the children of Israel, they strengthened their hands for this. What's those next two words? Okay, you aren't paying attention. So they strengthened their hands for this what? Hey, y'all. Y'all work during the day? You know what ministry is? It's work. It's work. But it's the most rewarding work you will ever have in your life. See, Brother Kevin, you don't understand my schedule. You don't know how many hours I work. I've got a family. I'm not going to compare my wife with you. I'm just not. But here's the one thing I do know. It doesn't matter how many hours a week I work. I can work until I'm stone cold dead. And the only thing that will matter will be what I did for Christ. I didn't say don't work. We all need to work. We need to provide for our families. Absolutely. But we need to provide the effort and the work that God can work through us so that others will see the joy of our salvation, the good countenance that we should have. You know, sometimes I think we ask the wrong question when we're praying. Sometimes we ask the question of, God, what can you do for me? Instead of asking, God, what can you do through me? He was inspired to work, and he inspired others to rally behind him and get going. They had a tremendous task. If you read the book of Nehemiah, it is filled with tremendous truths. I encourage you to go back and do that. Let me just go back. We'll finish up with Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. This inspiration to work. Chapter 4, verse 17 tells them that the people had a mind to work. They were encouraged to work. They were encouraged to get the task done. In chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Hey, who gets the glory here? God! 52 days! Hey, we're wrapping up. That wall was 2.5 miles. That's further from here past Raleigh Road. Hey, that wall was 40 feet high. 40. That's taller than our gym at some points. That wall was 8 foot thick. That's me laying down and then some. Now, not all of it was completely rebuilt in 52 days. It didn't start from scratch. But this was such a tremendous accomplishment. Don't miss this. That the enemies perceived it wasn't Nehemiah. It wasn't the children of Jerusalem. It was no one else but God. Because that is what God can do with your life. If you want to make a difference, and show that interest in something other than yourselves. Go to the Lord and ask Him, what can you do through me? Go forth with integrity. Go forth knowing that you have a God that loves you and will serve right alongside you and will fight for you. And when those accomplishments come, because He wants them to happen, we can look back and say, I don't know how I did it, that 70 hours of work I was doing, but yet we still were able to go to visitation and see two men saved. That ain't me. It's God. I don't know how we're going to do this bus ministry. I don't know about these kids all over the church. And the first couple of weeks, we already got two that accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. We only have our new vans in yet. Doesn't matter. Because God is with us.